of course, demonstrations or anything like that doesn't happen without video. So what we can do maybe is start to consider the things, the topics and concepts of portable application development, thinking about categories of what frameworks are available if we're going to develop in a portable way. And maybe what Rossaran would say if he was here is that we should all be developing in EFL. So what we start with is something, and there's a cable. So instead of winging it, we'll try with a cable. So. Plug this right in. Sure. Right, okay, so the question.
Do you want the music on the whole time?
No, music can be turned off.
No, you have to.
Yeah, I can turn it off, don't worry. Okay. I'm just trying to get the video on. So, right, cool, okay, then that's our video. Right. It's Amigon. So we'll just do this and then that, voila. So that's how we start, and we'll have to fast forward a little bit. But the question is, we'll start with a question, why not? The question is, if we're going to develop at all, then why not in EFL, and if that's possible? And if so, can we do it portably? But I think basically what is involved in native development on TICE and how do we do that in EFL, for example, there's nothing to stop us from developing using EFL libraries on TICE. And of course, we're going to need to compile and link to the libraries. And that goes for Conman and Ofono and all of the various other things that are packed into the core of TICE. And what we don't have then is the help from the big boys from Intel and Samsung, who are going to organize for us things like app stores. It sounds like, according to policy, not so much corporate policy, but sort of development policy and on a marketing level, that they want to keep away from native application development, at least for now. So it'll be on that that you kind of lose out. Does that answer your question? Yeah, and that's one of the three models. So we'll take a look at that later. So that's how we'll do it. Incidentally, one of the other differences between this session and the others, you're in for a treat because you get free stuff here. If you ask questions at the end of our session, then the first five or six question askers gets a free ebook from O'Reilly. Isn't that nice? I mean, compared to, mobile telephone, and you don't need that. So these are basically the subtopics that we'll be addressing if we get that far, because we're starting quite late. Mobile app categories, that's these three general groups of frameworks and development methods that we can take. We'll move on to what's in the TICE SDK after that, what it's provides and what we can possibly integrate as well, hypothetically. So we can start with the categories, because this is maybe important to understand when we are developing native applications, where we actually are on this continuum and what kind of things we can expect. What we see here, the word rich actually refers to being feature rich. So if we're going to develop with native libraries, Ofono, Conman, EFL, and so on, then we're going to really target a feature rich usage and use case. On the very other side of this graph, what we have is a web application frameworks and web application development, which takes us a little bit away from the feature-rich type of engineering development, but gives us a more of a reach out to platforms, out to users and devices. And this is actually what we're going to focus on, web application development, web application frameworks, because it gives us more portability. So what we often hear is the difference rich versus reach. And we'll visit the chart once or twice again later on, just to see where we're at. Now, if we start with native application development, we can see that we have quite a lot of, choices. For example, the different APIs in the middle. But what we do miss out on is a portability then. So what Mr. Ski Instructor wants us to understand is that if you try to port from iOS to, from EFL to iOS, excuse me, then you're going to have a bad time. And I assume that hopefully somebody here understands what that means, because I don't know what the, somebody gave me this slide, right? So I suppose this is a South Park character. Okay. Oh, okay, one person understood. That's great. Right, so the next thing, here we are on the native app layer of the continuum. And what we can see from one of the beautifully designed architecture diagrams from Sunil, who gave a talk a couple days ago, is that what we're dealing with is really a vast and very rich type of application development. So what he has done for us is designed this stack of components. And what we see is at the very top, application layer, in the middle, the core, and at the bottom, the kernel, which are all, of course, quite interesting. But probably for us, just like he said as well, the very middle, the core, is probably what we really want to look at. These are the things like networking, like PIM, you know, contacts, messaging, how do we manipulate all that, link to it, bind to it, and use it. The first thing we've got to understand if we're going to go for portability is that we're going to be missing out on a lot of things if we're just writing plain old web applications. So what we maybe will start with here, since we are talking about portability, is seeing what kind of web application frameworks we have to choose from. It's basically quite a lot. This is not even a list of half of the available application frameworks that are out there and are being actively developed in various projects. You might not see all of the words, I don't know. But if you can't, then I'll just list some of them. I put the ones that I like the most at the top, the ones that are maybe best documented and most prevalent and well-known. So what we have there is jQuery Mobile, Sencha Touch, Dojo X, and JQ Touch. These are kind of the classical the ones that are you see, you know, vast numbers in app stores. You go to their websites and they're listing, you know, tens of thousands of applications in markets and app stores. But there are quite a lot of other interesting items there. Enyo is a web application framework being put out by HP. They kind of open source their WebOS, and this is what is allowing people to develop for that. That's going to grow now that it's open sourced and so on. Here's a very exotic one, Monocross, which allows us to write in C# and bind to .NET assemblies on all kinds of mobile telephones, probably Tizen as well one day, because it's very, very portable as well. And just a plethora of choices. And that makes it difficult to decide, in fact. There are some special cases which we might not consider web application frameworks, but do assist us very much in portability and reaching out, like we saw before in this categories graph. Now, basically, you might actually know the first one because it's inside the Tizen SDK. It's integrated in there. You can select a new project and then choose HTML5 boilerplate. And before I knew about this, I just I didn't think it was that important, but what I know now is that it's a pretty nice thing. It's made by a gentleman by the name of Paul Irish, and what you find in the HTML5 boilerplate is just simply a lot of logic, which checks and detects different modes, different graphics, and different user agents, and then allows us to conditionally tailor our web application development to what's happening, what's available in the browser, if it's a WebKit browser, if it's a Gecko browser, or something else. And it incidentally uses a modernizer as well. Modernizer is a project which aims for progressive enhancement. So it just gives every browser that possibly could read the page a very basic view of what you're trying to show the users, and then enhances this progressively according to what version of what browser web engine you're using. So this is actually, for us, very useful, although it's not specifically a web application framework. To choose one of these, then, from the group that we saw before, so many, there are some different strategies that we can follow. I kind of thought about how to do this the best way. There's two decisions in the middle there. That's these two blue diamonds. And basically, for me, it's important to know, am I going to target hardware, hardware-heavy type of logic from the beginning? If we're going to be using things like NFC or GSM, making calls, or putting the network interface in monitor mode or something, then we can't use a web API for that. But if we're just going to be displaying lists of data, maybe writing a few things locally, then we can go with a web application framework. And then what we have is basically advanced hardware, no. Maximum portability, yes. And that's why our friendly little Megon, I don't know if that's a Guinness beer in his hand or maybe, no. Okay, no, I think that's a mobile telephone. Then he's pretty happy about that. We've reached maximum portability. If we need the hardware, the types of things that can only come from the system calls to C libraries like EFL, like Ofono, and so on, then we're going to have to use a different API, which is termed a hybrid API, something like this, Cordova Titanium and other things. There are some other nice things to discover in the SDK, in the Tizen SDK, which refer to, well, you can't see the mouse is there, but to WAC, Bondi, and these kind of things. For the audio listeners, I'm pointing at the different squares on the screen there. Instead of using this type of indirect approach, there are some tools available as well to help us decide what we're going to use, what type of framework is maybe most practical. The one that I like the best is this one here. I can show it to you quickly, and it basically does a lot of work for us. It's from Marcus Falk, a nice, nicely colored and clear matrix of things. This is a wizard here, and basically what we have is just a variety of different web application frameworks, and then that's what they support, you know, features, different platforms, and so on. And then he's done this thing here with a wizard where you can just click, I want to support Symbian, Migo, Windows Phone, and maybe Bada, something like that. Tizen, well, okay, Tizen's not there yet. So we find the framework, and then we come up with these four: jQuery Mobile, XUI, Application Craft, and Monocross. So that's maybe something to check out. What else? What the other consideration is, if we are already looking for methodologies, development methodologies, and have portability as our highest goal, we can ask ourselves, why are we going to use a web application framework when we could, well, choose a hybrid framework or something else? And I like to think of some of the things that Rasterman has talked about in the last weeks. In fact, I asked him about that, and he mentioned that he said in 2012 will come to be known as the year of the web runtimes. Officially, there is no native development. Tizen is an HTML5 affair only, so we're going to be getting not very much support for things like maybe even EFL, his pet project, his dearest project. So we've already seen the great documentation, which is online for Tizen, and this is pretty well based on web technologies. So to understand then where we are in the continuum, where we started with the three different groups, we've started with the native development, the native core components and libraries. We've talked about the web application frameworks, all of the various ones, what they're good for, how to choose them. Now, what we have left is the middle, sort of the part that what's termed the JavaScript bridge, which helps us access the low-level system calls and the different various core libraries, and still from a higher-level standard web approach. So there's only a few of these. There's not 100 like we saw from the web APIs. And it's basically just Cordova, which is going to be ported probably to Tizen. There's quite a lot of involvement with that from various groups as well. So we might be looking at something like that in the close future. And once we do have something like Cordova for Tizen, then we have access to all of these things in the middle again, this nice sort of the meat of this three-layer sandwich, or maybe the cheese for you vegetarians here. Inside, we have all of the various different components, and which is then instantly available to us just by using a hybrid application framework, which the way it works is that we're writing as much HTML5 and CSS code as we like, JavaScript as well. And then if we need something from here, from cellular telephony stack, for example, or something else, then we basically have to adhere to the API of the hybrid application framework. So Cordova has nice documentation, tells us how to call into its API, and then we can access all of a sudden graphics and UI, OpenGL, things that might not be available to us, and that over a variety of platforms, Windows Phone as well, for example, if we'd like to just write once and run everywhere, which we've heard from others as well. So the question is then, how do we get started with all this? If we have an idea of what's available, and we have researched a little about the different web application frameworks and maybe even made a choice, then how would we begin to develop? Now, the Tizen steering group and the various engineering groups have developed for us a very nice SDK, which already has a few things inside, which is valuable. I think we all know that jQuery Mobile is there. So you know, it's like a one-minute task to write a Hello World in HTML5 and jQuery Mobile with beautiful widgets and everything you need for sliding and scrolling with the finger. What else? What it also provides is this HTML5 boilerplate that we took a look at, which we can actually start a project of and then just take selections out of it. I might show that if I have time. We'll see if there is time. But so this is kind of the easiest way to get started, possibly, is to just generate a project with the Tizen SDK and then go off from there. The emulator can show you what you're developing, but my favorite way to do it is to actually just use a browser from anywhere and call into the directory of HTML, of CSS, and JavaScript, which you have used the IDE to write. And I think I'll show that right now as part of the integration, because it might not be really obvious how easy it is to do. Does save some time as well. here some demos. This is, as many know, the IDE. So when we do something like this, Tizen Web Project, is that visible? That's visible. And we choose something like, for example, jQuery Mobile. Master Detail Application. Give it a name. Then we have a project. And what it has actually done, if I run it from here, then it starts up the emulator, which at least on my computer is really, really slow and painful to use. And I don't know how to use multi-touch on it. So here's my strategy for faster development. I just go to the browser and find the place where the project is. Oopla. I have a network connection. No network. That was wrong. Let's see how fast I can get this going. Here, I'll try Firefox. Do you guys think it'll work with Firefox? It's not WebKit. Yeah, but it's not using a security connection. So let's try that then. Try it over a secure connection, although I think it won't help. No, I don't know. We can try it here instead. That might be better. Okay, let's try it. So, this is how most of my demonstrations go. Oh, let's try it now. No, okay, well, I guess we'll just have to, yeah. Okay. Well, then, if that works, then we have probably the WebKit as well, don't you think? Who wants to bet? Okay. So then here's some of the... Here's basically... I've kind of fast-forwarded about this because I was afraid that something would go wrong. But thank goodness nothing has gone wrong, right? So we have basically these things in the IDE. The various, I've already tried out a few things here with the various project types that you can start from the Tizen SDK. And then if you just go to a completely standard web browser and check out, for example, the jQuery master, this project that we just started, you can basically just examine your developments and see if they're working. It's not necessary to have the emulator for that. Of course, testing on the emulator is valuable as well, or for us now, because we have a device, we can use that as well. But it might be faster just to use a desktop browser for that. It's a good strategy for writing applications in web, in the web, using web application frameworks. There's some other things, just in case you're interested. Maybe some of you haven't tried out the SDK and the IDE inside. Or here's one, for example. Yeah. Refresh. No, happen now? Same thing again. I guess the network is just not too happy today. It's probably because somebody here, they left their hearing aid on or their heart maker, their heart pacemaker, and you know that all of the interference, it just is too much for the computers. So here we have a network connection again. Let's try the demo. Okay, we have the demos again. Okay, and so one of the things that you don't get with the Tizen SDK, for example, is Sencha Touch, which is quite popular. Everybody's writing books about it, writing apps, uploading them to app stores. So it's one nice thing that we could do, that we could choose to do, is to integrate that into the Tizen IDE. And if we don't want to go that far, then we can just write it on our own, and that would work as well on Tizen. Here are some examples. This is kind of how it looks. This is an example, the kitchen sink example for Sencha Touch. My hope is that we can use any of those web app frameworks, the one that we like the most. So a lot of people would like to choose Sencha Touch, and we have it if we want it. Right. So where that belongs is actually here, but unfortunately, we don't have it yet. Maybe something like Cordova will take its place there as well someday. So I think then what we have to do is close the speaking and maybe go to questions. And as you know from before, we have covered some of these things, basically a few links, which might help to get started, some nice reminders of what the top row of web application APIs are, and Modernizer is there as well, PhoneGap, and so on. There's some good books as well to help us get started in this. So I think we can just ask questions and get free ebooks. Okay, yeah, in the back.
In your opinion, which is the most performant framework to be using right now on Tizen?
The most performant? Well, it's a good question. I mean, I haven't done a lot of work with the device myself, and you know, I heard just like you did, Mr. Choi talking about all of the various animations, which are, you know, you don't know if that's from the web level or directly on EFL or. Now, okay, I'll just try to answer the question easier way. The one thing that's nice about Sencha Touch is that it's doing almost everything in JavaScript. So it has, at least I haven't done the benchmarks myself, but this could be something to look at. If you're interested in performance, then you know, run one demo from Sencha Touch and try to find something similar on another one that's interesting for you. You want to come up and get a free gift, and then afterwards, when I get the grades and notes, right? No. Right. So you have your choice. Actually, you can take a book or a free gift.
I'll take the free gift.
The ebook. Okay. You're welcome. Anybody else want one? So, same question, right?
So in the hybrid layer, you said that there's all these APIs you can call into. Are you using a common language to call them, or do you have to use their language?
No, that's exactly what's so nice about them. You're using JavaScript. In every case, in fact, the three that I know of, the three most popular, they all use JavaScript for this. Romobile is a special case. They have a Ruby binding as well. I think the core is written in Ruby, so you can use Ruby for that, which is nice for some people. But if we just take a look at Cordova, which is probably the most practical for us at Tizen, then you're calling into the API, the Cordova API, over JavaScript. So that's your common language. And then you're manipulating things that you would otherwise need to write in Objective-C, in C#, in Java, or something else. And that's what's nice about them. That's the abstraction that we get from a hybrid application web framework.
Regarding the web app, so since we are restricting to use any native coding, but there is a need for writing performance-centric business rules when you write an application, and you want that those business logic to run faster. So we have algorithms or business logic, a state machine, whatever to be run behind the scene as a background thread or whatever it is for the application. Since we have a restriction that we have to use the available web APIs, what if we need to just have some internal algorithms to be run in a native code? Is it not possible to have some CV-based algorithm which is not really dependent on a platform API, or it can run on different platforms like that. At least if you are sticking to an application logic group, an application logic, it should be able to run by itself.
Right.
Is there any chance of adding native code to the web?
Yeah, so I think the question is, if we do want to stay kind of at a high level to enjoy the reach and still have small parts of logic which is running natively in C, can we do this? And it's a difficult question to answer. I think one way that we could answer this is that they're trying to avoid this problem by optimizing so much at the web level. I mean, this is the job that Rasterman is trying to do with EFL and Marcel with Ofono and so on, is making it not necessary. Now, that's not a very nice answer, but you can write, here's another approach to the problem. You can write plugins to something like Cordova. So you're no longer only manipulating the geolocation, for example, the things that you have on all the different platforms like contacts. Then you have your own custom piece that you're loading into it. I mean, it does involve quite a lot of work, and then you've got to worry about supporting that on 15 platforms if you want to match the portability that Cordova gives you out of the box. But it's an option. I mean, it's a difficult.
So can I write a C code and drop it up to the JavaScript API?
Yes, that's a Cordova plugin.
Yeah,
right. There's some other. Okay, now when you talk about sandboxing and things like that, I mean, we just heard about that one day ago, so I don't know what the developments are, the newest things that they're going to do with that. Smack, for example. Sorry, I can't speak to the details of what's, you know, is it a rooted device from an OEM, or are we the OEM ourselves? These are all things that play a role. Maybe another thing that you might think about is that you can write native applications. I mean, it's kind of thinking of the problem in reverse. You can write native applications and call and use CSS for your style sheets and themes and so on, and actually package HTML5 in there as well, because EFL supports WebKit. So, I mean, it kind of depends on how you go about it.
Only thing is, native application can categorize into two things. Like, either you can use native APIs on the platform, or even on its own by using some data structure API or something like that, maybe threading API and things like that. So both are kind of avoided for now. That's what you are asking.
Yeah. Okay. It could change as well. I actually have a few theories that maybe they'll be interested in native development at some point of time in the future, but I'm just in the community and not the one making the policy. So that's... Would you take your pick? The one with the ribbon.
So one of the value proposition in using a framework like the PhoneGap, or at least in the enterprise world where I came from, is write once, you know, deploy on all the device. But when we actually start using it, we realize that it's actually not that easy, that we still have to port, you know, tweak it, you know, to meet the device. And then also each of the platform, as you check out, like iOS or Android, has the, and Windows Mobile has their own paradigm in how you're presenting it. So how close are we, how realistic are these attempt to write once, you know, deploy anywhere without touching?
Yeah, well, how realistic, it's kind of, you must first state, I mean, there's some problems that are just so well tailored to web applications and web technology that you don't have to go any farther than that. It's a website with some scrolling and so on. And for something like that, I think what they want Tyson to be right now, it's just optimal. It's perfect because we have all of the APIs that we need for it. Write once, run everywhere. Now, for the Cordova efforts that are going on, there's at least what I know of, two different groups that are not at Adobe, which bought PhoneGap, which then they changed the name to Cordova, and both of these groups are intent on completing the porting to Tyson. One of them is quite well funded by and then the people I've spoken to at Adobe, even they are very interested in seeing Tyson become a part of their supported platforms. So I've only got positive experiences and hearing from all the various parties involved. You know, there were things as well that didn't pan out so well. For example, people trying to port PhoneGap to Qt. As far as I know, it might still be a project, but it hasn't really connected too well, and they haven't So they haven't completed the API to really cover all of what PhoneGap offers. But we have to just, well, it's not nice to say wait and see. It might be better to say collaborate and take a look at what's in the JIT repository now for Cordova, and in fact not wait, but start to use it or try to test. There are some minor roadblocks at the time, which are political issues, things like how is it called? NDAs and so on, that I assume will be taken care of in the next couple of months. But I would keep an eye out on the Cordova things that are going on.
So everyone, we're significantly over time. I'm sure he will be here to answer questions. I would like to give